Large or small, you can call Fury Electric at 501-327-7744 or go online to furyelectric.com. For any topic you want to discuss, large or small, get into the zone. Coming to you live from the Fury Electric Studio on the Buzz Radio Network.
We're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. Avenue.
11:35 in the zone. Welcome back to Fury Electric Studio. It is Wednesday, which means Wally Hall is in the house.
Wednesdays with Wally is presented by Deltec Timber Corporation, a publicly owned natural resources company headquartered right here in Arkansas. Learn more at chenal.com.
We need to get a sponsorship for Michael Felder and his appearances. Get Shotgun to do a big voice thing for him. Michael, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you guys?
I'm good.
Good, thanks.
We're off to an interesting start in the college football season, so all is well.
So, yeah, it's a good one. I'm looking forward to this week of games a lot more than I enjoyed last week, but this week's a little bit better from a national standpoint.
I would say, admittedly, last week did kind of blow. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, you could sugarcoat it. I mean, look, game day's hanging out in North Dakota. I mean, come on. We know what the deal was. But this week, much better, and you don't have to stray too far because there are a few high-profile matchups in the SEC. First question out of the gate, how much do you think Arkansas will beat Texas A&M by this weekend?
I tell you what, I think that they're gonna find a way to score some points on A&M. I think A&M's offense is a little bit more explosive. Well, they're obviously more explosive. They lead the league. They lead the nation in total yards per game. In total yards right now, actually. So I think that I think for Arkansas, they've got to beat them up. Go in there, beat up this defense, score the ball every chance you get. Obviously, it's going to be a lot on Alex Collins' plate. But for me, this is one of those games where you look at it and, if Arkansas can keep scoring and they can get a couple strategic stops, I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people nationally might think.
Well, you're nationally. Wow. What do you think?
I think it's going to be closer than people think.
Okay.
What do you think the line's going to be?
I haven't looked at the line yet, but I do know that I know that everyone nationally expects A&M to blow them out. You talk to other folks at the other radio spots, and they look at this ball game and think, well, you know, does Arkansas even have a chance? And whenever someone leads into a question with, does so-and-so have a chance? They're expecting a blowout. I look at this ball game and I see an A&M defense that cannot stop anybody. Mm-hmm. I see an Arkansas defense that's slowly trying to figure out what they want to be. And if they can get some stops, if Johnny Manziel has a bad day, or Arkansas can get some stops, then you're talking about a game that Arkansas can be in because you can push people around. I think you bring that bully attitude that Brett Bielema has, they can push this A&M defense around. They don't mind getting pushed around. We saw it again, and I'm not talking about Alabama. We saw it against Rice. They can be pushed around. I think you go in there with that mindset of moving these guys around, they're going to move for you.
Yeah, and as I pointed out earlier, too, the outstanding running back from Sam Houston, and he's a good one. I mean, he's one of the best ones we've seen in the FCS. Mm-hmm. He had 175 yards against him. It can be had. So,
but Johnny Manziel does not have bad days.
Yeah, I was about to say, how bad of a day is he going to have?
I think for Manziel, it's going to boil down to, you know, he can hit some amazing spots with the football. I think that I don't know that a bad day for him is in order, but I do think that, like we said, keep scoring. If you keep scoring, you're going to be in this football game because A&M's not stopping anybody.
All right. I have about five or six things I want to make sure we get through today. Michael Felder joining us from Bleacher Report. We have talked a lot about karma this season here in the state of Arkansas. Jeremy Hill, huge game last week. When does karma catch up with this knucklehead?
He's a really good football player.
He
talked about Johnny Manziel not having bad days. It seems Jeremy Hill just keeps getting better and better and better and better. I mean, he played lights out football last week. I expect it to continue against the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, he sat out the first couple games and he came back with a fire. He's playing like a guy that he wants to prove that he belongs in the discussion as one of the better running backs out there.
Yeah, well, he's been very good. What do you think about that matchup this week? I'm actually picking LSU. There's my preview, Wally, so you know where I'm coming from. Georgia's obviously at home. LSU has looked spectacular, especially on the offensive side. What do you see happening in this matchup?
I'm going with LSU, too. I think that LSU's a better football team. I think they're a better coached football team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And I think they go into Athens and they control the game wire to wire. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think they control that game every minute of it. And even though it's a close one, LSU knows that they're going to win. We saw last week against Auburn. It's very rare that you see a college football team look bored, but LSU's defense looked bored against Auburn. And they gave up some points, and they gave up some big plays that probably shouldn't have. I expect them to be engaged for the entire 60 minutes this weekend, go out there and prove a point. Anthony Johnson, not 100%, but he's going to play. Ego Ferguson's going to play. I think those are the two guys that start the initial push to stop Todd Gurley. And I don't think you can shut him down, but I definitely think they slow Todd Gurley down, slow him down, make Aaron Murray beat you. And I tell you what, for my money, there's not a better secondary in the country than LSU with Jalen Mills, Jalen Collins. They got the freshmen getting good reps in Tre'Davious White. They've got Michael Eugene, who probably should be a starting safety somewhere as their third safety nickel guy because Craig Lawson and Ronald Martin are so good. I think LSU secondary can shut down that, can stop the Georgia passing attack, and then I think that allows them to dedicate seven defenders to the run, and they've got to do that to slow down Todd Gurley.
How many times do you think anyone's ever said LSU's better coached?
That says a lot about Cam Cameron, though, maybe not all about Les Miles.
Absolutely. Cam Cameron's made all the difference in the world. You led with that offense and how much difference they made, all the difference the year makes. They have a plan on offense. It's not like they're coming out. They didn't change from a pro-style offense to a spread attack. They're still running 21 personnel with two running backs and one tight end. They're still running 12 personnel with one running back and two tight ends. They're still running the same personnel packages. It's just that when you have a coach that has a clue, a guy that has a plan, you can do a lot more. You can do a lot more with your team. You can be great because that coach understands that I've got to work this specific run play to set up this play action later in the game. I've got to throw this one on first down because the last three first downs, I ran the ball. They'll never expect it. And we're seeing them score touchdowns. I saw in the game against, I think it was a game against maybe Kent State, LSU ran the ball nine times in a row, threw it for 20-something yards, ran it two more times, then lined up in a pass set, ran a one-man route, and the guy was wide open on a one-man route because Kent State was so worried about them running the football again. A
couple of numbers here, Michael, and then we'll move on to some other games. But how about 333 yards in the second half against Auburn? How about 85 plays run? And how about holding Auburn to about 40 yards in the first quarter? They are dominating on both sides of the ball. And, yeah, that game was relatively close on the scoreboard. But like you said, I don't think it was LSU's most engaged effort. So it's going to be scary going forward. It'll be fun to watch how that plays out. What about Baylor? There's been one of the surprises this year nationally. Ranked in the top 25 now. Certainly putting up huge numbers offensively. Art Briles' name, I'm sure, will get tossed around a lot on some high-profile jobs that may come open here in the next few years.
$5 million buyout.
Well, if you're Texas, that's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
So are they good enough on defense, though, to win the Big 12?
They look better on defense, but I want to see them play some Big 12 football and see what happens. They were so bad a year ago. I don't expect them to improve very much, so I think that's going to be the problem for them as we get into Big 12 play. But I tell you what, when you've got a running back with elite speed and the ability to break tackles, you can be really special. And then obviously Art Briles, he's in that circle of coaches with Kevin Sumlin, with Dana Horgelson, a little Mike Leach thrown in there that broke off the air raid and started doing some of their own thing. Bryce Petty, you talk about guys that probably don't get enough respect. Bryce Petty's playing he's having a heck of a year at the quarterback spot, throwing the ball around the yard. Their big plays are off the chart. In the pass game, in the run game, their big plays are off the chart. You talk about a team, Baylor right now, Texas A&M's number one in total yards gained this year. They've played four games. Baylor's number two, and they've played three games. They are putting up ridiculous yards, like 700-something per game.
It's pretty ridiculous. I don't know that they want to be tied in with West Virginia and Dana Holgorsen right now after the performance last weekend. What in the world is going on? Shut out against Maryland of all teams, 37-0 last weekend. The bloom is off the rose. What is going on with my man Dana? And I love the guy. He's very entertaining, and offensively they're fun to watch, or at least they had been. What in the world is going on over there?
One, Randy Etzel's a better coach than people have given him credit for, and he's a much better coach than Dana Holgorsen. And I have no problem saying that. I think Randy Etzel put his plan in motion at Maryland. They had the setbacks with the transfers. But as far as coaching goes, once he got Mike Loxley in there to help smooth things over with the players, he hadn't stopped since, even with all the quarterback issues. As far as for West Virginia, they don't have a quarterback. That's number one. They don't have any players on offense that scare anybody. That's number two. So I think Dana Holgorsen better get on the phone and start recruiting some talent. Because if you don't have Tavon Austin, you don't have Stedman Bailey, you don't have Geno Smith, this is what his offense looks like, and that's not a good thing for him. He's got to find a way to manufacture yards. And you can see it in them. You can see the panic in West Virginia, how quickly they just abandoned the game plan of dinking and dunking and short throws and being smart with the football. You see how quickly they abandoned it in search of a big play trying to stretch the field. And if you're West Virginia, if you haven't figured out by now that Charles Sims is the best player that you have and you need to give him the ball 30 times a game, if you haven't figured that out, that's a coaching problem. And I can't believe that it's not Charles Sims left, Charles Sims right, Charles Sims screen, because he's the best player they got. He's the only player they have right now.
Michael Felder joining us, BleacherReport.com. Texas Tech, another great surprise in the early going here, knocking off ranked TCU at home. A young new coach in Cliff Kingsbury who's done a great job. We've talked a lot about new coaches in the SEC, but he has certainly done a great job. My bold prediction on Texas Tech, and I want to get your thoughts on it, they will start the season 7-0. They will end the season 7-5.
You know what? I don't hate that prediction. I'll be honest. You look at their schedule. They obviously have a bye week this week, but they've got Kansas beatable, Iowa State beatable, West Virginia beatable. And then they sit into that back half where they play the best teams in the Big 12. They're going to have some issues. Oklahoma State. They've got Kansas State, Baylor. I think they beat Kansas State, finish 8-4. But I don't disagree about Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Texas, who's trying to find themselves now, and then obviously in Baylor. I think they'll lose to Baylor as well. So yeah, I think they finish 8-4. But I think you're right. 0-5, 1-4 in those final five games. That's a very real possibility.
Okay, so the SEC is the best conference in America this year and every year. You got five teams in the top 12. What is the second best conference in America right now, in your opinion?
I think you can go one of two ways, and you won't be wrong. I like the ACC because I think that Miami, Florida State, and Clemson are all legitimate A-plus, A teams. I don't know A-plus is right, but I think they're all A teams, teams that can compete every time they step on the field with any team in the country. I think they're going to go out there to compete to win. I think when you look at the Pac-12, I think the Pac-12 right now has two of those teams. Jury's still out on UCLA. I think Stanford's in that mix. I think Oregon's in that mix. I think UCLA could be if they just continue to improve a little bit. So I don't think you're wrong going Pac-12 or going ACC. I think we all know that it's certainly not the Big Ten. It's a one-horse conference. And then in the Big 12, I don't think there's a national title contender in that whole bunch. So I think at least having multiple title contenders in the ACC and Pac-12 put them about on the level footing right now. But I look around, and, man, I tell you what, Miami versus UCLA, that's the game I wouldn't mind seeing. Those teams are really good, and those are the third-best teams in their respective conferences.
Is Fresno going to go undefeated?
I think so. I mean, they went out there and they won the game against Boise State. You look at the rest of their schedule, they're on the weaker side of the Mountain West Conference. I think they go undefeated. I think the toughest test for Fresno State is going to be playing Utah State at the end of the season in the Mountain West Conference game. That's right. I don't think Boise State makes it to the conference title game. I think Utah State gets them, and I think that's going to be Fresno State's toughest test.
Okay. Out of the top 10, if it's not Alabama or Oregon, who gets to the national championship game?
I'm an LSU guy. I've been an LSU guy from day one. They've been the most impressive team in the country to me. I'm going with LSU. I think they're going to go 14-0, win a national championship this year in the final year of the BCS.
Jeez Louise, that is high praise. Well, we've got a very obnoxious caller to the station who calls himself Tiger Bait. Guess who he roots for? He'll be thrilled to hear you say that. Michael, good stuff. Did you watch Book of Manning last night?
I did not watch Book of Manning last night. I was very busy watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, I understand. That was a tough call. I will say this. Do yourself a favor. It is one of the most compelling documentaries I've ever seen, and I learned a lot about a family I thought I knew a lot about. So great stuff, great TV, and I suggest that all of our listeners check it out. And you too, Michael Felder. So we'll talk about that in 2 weeks if I can remember. But
Sounds good. I'll definitely put that on the list to check out, DVR. I did see the tweets, and they looked great in terms of the things that Eli did while he was at Ole Miss. So I definitely need to check that out.
Yes. Michael, great stuff. We appreciate it. We'll visit again here in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. You got to take it easy.
All right, thanks. You can follow Michael on BleacherReport.com. And, of course, you can hear him here on The Buzz every other week. Next week, Christina's favorite, Barrett Salee, will be on.